Hey guys, you're listening to Stutter Talk. I'm Karen Herring, and I'm here with Roisin McManus.
Hello.
And Joel Cordy.
Hi.
And we're the Stutter Talk B team. If you want to call Stutter Talk, you can call 206-666-5340. If you want to get in touch with Stutter Talk, you can write to stuttertalk@stuttertalk.com. And if you want to get in touch with the B team, you can write to bteam@stuttertalk.com. All right.
Well done, Karen.
Thank you.
That was excellent.
Thank you so much, guys. Roisin, do you want to start us off?
Sure. So I'm doing pretty good. Spring is finally here in Brooklyn, which is nice. I recently had a interesting talk at the Brooklyn NSA support group, which is a group of about probably 10 people. It's pretty small. So we usually get into some pretty like personal lengthy discussions there.
And this is through the National Stuttering Association, right?
Yes, exactly. That's through the National Stuttering Association. You can contact them.
Just a slight little plug there.
Yeah. And so basically, like, I've been feeling, well, to be fair, what prompted this was one of the participants was saying how stuttering for him was a non-issue at this point. And that even though he's stuttering a lot, when he's in situations, he has stopped caring. Those are his words. And he's stopped caring about people's reactions. He's stopped caring about how he's speaking. And he just makes sure that he says whatever he was trying to say, which is definitely a positive thing. And it kind of got me thinking, because I've been feeling recently like in a lot of situations, mostly every situation, actually, that I am stuttering significantly or stuttering a significant amount. And I'm sort of at a point where sometimes I get to the point where I'm kind of like pushing through the words. I'm definitely struggling. And I walk away from the situation feeling like almost resigned to the fact that I was really struggling. And when I say resigned, I mean, I don't like think about it afterwards. Like, oh God, like what was that person thinking? Like, how could I have changed that? What could I have done differently? I'm just kind of like, you know what? Like, that's what happened. And in the moment, this is what's happening. And I'm just going to say what I'm trying to say and do what I'm trying to do. And for me, it's becoming a very negative thing. Mm-hmm. It's becoming like where I'm just really sort of, and one of the facilitators of the group brought up this article that he had read about mindfulness in relation to stuttering and about how in therapy, it can be really helpful to work with a client on being very mindful of how they're stuttering and not necessarily aware of, you know, what kind of disfluencies, how they're having them, but like engaged with the moment. So engage with the person you're speaking about, engage with how you feel, engage with how you're reacting, and just sort of like present. And it just pointed out to me that recently when I'm stuttering, I'm not avoiding, I'm not feeling really guilty, I'm not feeling shame, all these things that I used to feel, and that's a good thing, but I'm not really present if I'm struggling. I'm just kind of like pushing through and then just sort of letting it sit that maybe that what was an as positive a communication experience as it could have been. And that sort of is kind of upsetting to me now.
Yeah. Oh, man, That's so weird, because that's actually been happening to me a lot lately. The one thing I'm curious about is if you say that it's been happening at work, where you've kind of been having experiences like this. Is it only at work, or is it kind of seem to be in other places as well?
To be honest with you, it's mostly at work. I kind of wanted to say at work because I feel like I always talk about work, and I just didn't want to keep talking about work. but I kind of feel like it's only at work because there's a lot of like speaking situations that I have to engage in, and they can go on for a long time and be really tough.
Mm-hmm.
So do you not experience as much struggle when you're talking to just friends or family or non-work related situations?
Good question. I think I can, but I'm just a little bit more. I can, but I definitely struggle the most at work because I haven't advertised to everyone. I'm not confident that everyone really understands what stuttering is. And I'm still a little bit more, it's more of an emotional struggle, not necessarily more of a physical struggle.
Yeah. I want to know more. Wait, so is it emotional struggle and not a physical struggle? Is that what you just said?
It's definitely a physical one also. But like, I've been physically struggling while speaking in like all situations recently. But there's more of an added emotional component at work, because I'm just like, oh, does this person, what do they think of me? Like,
Yeah.
And I feel like I've been feeling...
Roisin, I feel like you just said that you didn't feel that way.
What do you mean?
I thought you said that, like, you can't concentrate on what's going on in the conversation, but it's not that you're, like, ashamed or embarrassed or care what other people think.
Right. So I kind of feel like, because for the past like 6 months or so, it hasn't been like bad, but it's just work. Like at the end of a night when you're tired, or like when you just like want to just like say what you have to say and not have to like stand up for stuttering or like, you know, make yourself feel good. You just want to like just talk. I'm like kind of emotionally exhausted to the point where like I'm just resigned to the fact that I'm just struggling. Mm-hmm. It's like I like almost exhausted all of my...
Like you like don't
reactions.
It's like you don't even want to spend the time to think about it, because it's just like, why?
Yeah, I'm just like, whatever. Like, I'm just talking. They're hearing me. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they understand what I'm saying. It's fine. But then I'm like, but I'm not making this. But it's becoming a negative thing, and I'm not like actively or like proactively, like there.
Mm-hmm. I'm very confused.
Yeah. I'm actually not.
I'm but, so lost. I feel like you're saying that it's fine. It's you're getting what you want across. They're understanding it, but it's still a negative experience. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you're saying that you don't care what they think, but then you do care.
Let me try and explain what I think you're saying, and let me know if what I'm saying is right or not. So, because I think I'm experiencing some of the same stuff, where, okay, well, it's probably not exactly the same, but it's pretty similar. Where sometimes you feel like you're in a place where you're okay with stuttering, but part of the reason why you're okay with it is you think, oh, well, I have some things that I can do to be able to manage the stuttering the better, and you know, I'm aware of what I'm doing, and I'm able to do things to make the stuttering okay, and then everything's fine. But then, and it's especially kind of It's especially kind of a confusing thing when you're trying to be a speech pathologist and you have clients and you're trying to tell them these things you're supposed to do. But then out in practice, you'll run into these situations where it's totally like what you're saying. It's like you know that you have things that you have to say.
Right.
You have information you need to convey to other people, and it's just like, I just know what you're talking about. Where you just you get it out, and you've been through this roller coaster ride of stuttering so many times that you are kind of just numb to it. But it is at the same time, it's just like unpleasant, because it's just, you know, you feel like the contortions in your face happening, and you know there's probably times during the conversation where you look particularly strange, mm-hmm. and then it's just over, and then you find yourself feeling kind of bad about the fact that you know it probably could have went quote-unquote better, but at the same time, you've had this experience so many times that you're just like, who cares?
Yeah, that's it. Like, when you use the word numb, that really rang a bell. Because it's not like I'm like, oh, like, I can't feel anything, I'm numb, but I'm just like, I know that I've gone through all this, like, desensitization, talking about stuttering, and I know that I'm in, like, a place where, of, like, relatively healthy thinking about my stuttering. So I'm not, like, coming out of there like, God, I have to, like, I need help, I have to think of this, I have to work on this, but I'm coming out of there just like that it's, I've been there so many times, and it's just, I'm not really mindful or, like, present,
mm-hmm.
you know, for whatever reason, because I'm numb, because I'm exhausted, because I'm, you know, really comfortable, whatever it is, good or bad, I'm not really mindful. And then it sort of makes, it doesn't make speaking a bad experience, like a scary, painful experience, but it just makes it sort of like this, like, suboptimal.
The thing I've been thinking about, though, because I honestly feel like a lot of stuff you were saying was just like, oh, yeah, totally. Like, even in, like, the past week, I've had the exact same thought. As I go back to, like, think about that time when you were in school and the professor was explaining things that you were going to have to say when you were going to be a professional. And you thought, oh, my God, I can't say that. And when you think about where you're at now compared to where you're at then, it's like you can't even compare the two.
Right.
So even though from just... See, this is why the measurement of overt stuttering is such a bad indicator of where someone's at. Is there the way that you're stuttering right now is probably... quote unquote more severe in some context than what you were allowing yourself to do all those years ago when you were in a really bad place, but like you're a functioning adult that's not letting this problem like really significantly interfere with your life, even though it's still like really stupid and frustrating sometimes.
Yeah.
This is kind of a dress. Oh, sorry. Yeah. No, it makes so much more sense now. This is sort of addressed to both of you, but do you think that being so used to stuttering and almost being numb to it is a positive thing?
That's the question. I don't know. I think it can be, but obviously, I mean, I don't want to speak for you, Roisin, but it seems like you're not, like, completely happy with it.
Yeah, I think that I'm not completely happy with it because I don't feel like I'm... It's not like I'm not having any negative emotional thoughts or... It's like I'm still having some negative self-talk afterwards. It's not as like punishing and as scary as before. But it's still like you just like put your head down and push through that. Not like physically, but you just like push through that situation. And instead of like taking back, but like stepping back, like calming down and like, or like telling the person like, oh yeah, like right now I'm really struggling. It's like, I'm not even too attempting to reach out to the person that I'm speaking with beyond saying I stutter. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like there's so much more that I could do to just feel more present. Cause like I recently when I'm struggling, I've been feeling so distant from the person I'm speaking with.
Now, yeah, that's what I want you to clarify a little bit. When you say you're not present, well, you were just kind of explaining it, but could you explain that a little bit better?
Just like that when I'm really struggling and I don't feel like I'm like proactively pulling on any tool or any idea or any thought or any like thing to say to the person, but I'm just sort of like struggling through. I feel really alone and not like sad alone, but like physically it's like I sort of like zoom out and I'm like sort of just trying to like breathe and speak. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like I'm really there for the exchange a lot of the time. This is not all the time. This is like I'm thinking of like a very specific situation kind of, I should clarify. But to give an example, for me, it's like when I'm giving report on a patient, if I'm having a hard time and the person is reacting strangely, the person I'm giving to, mm-hmm. I feel like I just like zoom out, mm-hmm. and just like push through.
Then
I kind of zoom back in the end and I'm like, God, that was tough.
It seems like it's almost a way to protect yourself from their reactions.
Yeah, you know, exactly. And it's a way to protect myself from, like, how much trouble I'm having speaking.
Mm-hmm. So, like, you don't want to be numb to it, but if you're not numb to it, you might experience more pain.
Yeah.
But also, if I'm not numb to it, like, I could try to do something about it. You know what I mean?
Like what?
Try to connect with the person I'm speaking to more about it. Like, tell them, like, I'm sorry. Like not I'm sorry, but, like, well, like I'm like really just struggling right now. Just like to have that out there. Try to like maybe use like some sort of speaking technique. Like try to slow down. Like speaking fast is an issue for me when I'm really struggling.
Would you tell them that you're struggling for your sake or for their sake?
For my sake. Oh. Just so I don't feel so like kind of alone in it. You know? So I can be like, oh, like I'm struggling. Whoa.
You know, when you're describing that, it just kind of reminded me of, like, how when you're talking to someone, and even if it's someone that you know pretty well, and you are struggling a lot, and you are sensing a little bit of a reaction from them for, you know, it could be good or bad or whatever, but to me, it just seems like what happens is, like, when you're struggling, sometimes... If you're able to maintain a reasonable sense of control, it feels like for the most part you are present in the conversation and connecting, but it's like once you really start losing control and struggling, there's like these fleeting or sometimes not so fleeting moments of detachment,
Yeah.
Where it's just like the communication is just, there's just like a space where nothing's happening, where yeah. you're just stuttering, and then there's just like this black hole where there's just nothing going on except for the struggle. And it seems like if you're really having a hard time, those things can kind of happen more than, you know, than the occasional time. And then is that kind of like what you're talking about?
Yeah. The word detachment, it's like the words they're using alone and not present. I think those are a little vague, but the word detachment really explains like how that feels.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're you're hiding or scared or like crying alone. You're just sort of detached from the situation.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if there's like a different option to deal with this than sort of the two ways that I feel like you have in looking at it, Roisin. Like either you can be completely detached, or you can sort of use speaking tools and get control of your speech. Like, do you think it's possible to just talk in the same way and just try to be attentive to what you're saying, what the other person is? Like, just be a better communicator without altering the amount of stuttering and the control over your speech you have?
I mean, that's a really good question. And I think that there definitely is. But I feel like the only way to do that is to be, like, more mindful of how I'm speaking. And not necessarily to, like, change how I'm speaking, but mm-hmm. not to, like, let myself... like I'm struggling, I'm alone. Like not make that jump from like I'm struggling, so I'm detached.
Yeah,
like, right. No, yeah, 100%.
Like I'm not really sure. It's like a psychological switch that I would have to make, and it's something that I have to sort of explore.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
right, that it doesn't have to be like you change the way you speak. It's like. So something more than the way I'm talking. It's like a psychological thing.
Right. Because even if there's times when you want to change the way you speak, but it's just not, the tools aren't working the way that you would like them to. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be ideal for you not to make that jump to just being completely detached.
Right.
It kind of reminds me of, at some point, I think in the past year or so, I was talking to Joe Klein. And I was just asking him, it might have even been on the Stutter Talk, and I was asking him about, you know, when he was working on his stuttering and stuff, and just the idea of quote-unquote working on your stuttering, about how in times like that you're describing, Roisin, if you can somehow find a way... after it's over, even while it's happening, because I'm always surprised sometimes about how you, there is some clarity actually going on in your head while you're stuttering. If you can have some more, whatever it's called, objective physical awareness, even if you're struggling a lot, you know, and you look back and you can say, you know, I was really pushing my tongue hard here, or, you know, doing this certain thing with my vocal folds, locking them up. If you are able to kind of like sit back and take an inventory of what is physically going on, then that is working on your stuttering.
Right.
And before I had that conversation with Joe, I'd never really thought about that, about how, you know, there's just so many different ways to go about working on this thing. And even after a negative experience or whatever, if you're able to gain some kind of understanding, that's can be a really good thing. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's just a matter of like putting in the work. And yeah. I never thought I would hear myself say that because I'm so like, all this practice bull. Like, but it takes like commitment and work.
Yeah.
To like want to think about it. And like a critical or not even critical, but just like in the way you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like I have to choose a little bit more to like put in the work to like, I don't know.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting there. I had this good guy that sent me some messages on YouTube, and he was, I don't know, he was really into the approach of, you know, really just trying to not stutter all the time. And I was interested in what he had to say and everything. So it was real cordial, but, you know, his whole idea is that, you know, just always work on the physical stuttering all the time, and then, you know, basically all these other things kind of take care of themselves. And honestly think that is awesome if that like works out for you, but like I was just trying to explain to him that like I'm just not built like that. Like I just can't like I need to like talk about this stuff, and I need to try, you know, I need to try basically just telling them that like I'm trying to figure out how to deal with this thing the absolute best way that I know how. And if I felt like there was an the right answer or the easy answer, or not, you know, not necessarily even the easy answer, you know, that's the one that I would take. But you know, for me and a lot of people, it's just not as simple as just trying not to stutter all the time, I guess. Yeah. I don't really know if this is related to what we're talking about, but
well it just kind of showed like it's so f-ing, like complex.
Yeah.
Like this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Crazy how much like what you were talking about is stuff that I've been thinking about lately.
Really?
That's wild. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So does it lead you with stuff to discuss still?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Okay. But actually, yeah, the thing I wanted to talk about isn't really very much related to that, but I. What you were describing is basically what I was just thinking about, how screwed up it is that like I'll go into therapy with someone and we'll work on something, and like, you know, I'll be telling them to do, you know, prolongations or easy repetitions, and then we'll practice doing all this stuff, and then it's just like I can't even do it. Like it's just such bullshit because I can't do it. Like there'll be times when I just like, I just don't even have a prayer. Like, I, you know. And
wait,
just,
why?
Who do I think I am? I don't know.
Wait, why do you think that?
I don't know. I just, sometimes, whether it be at work or talking, it's just like everything goes out the window. I don't know what the deal is.
Wait. So are you saying that you don't think they ever work? Or there's
no.
Certain times when it's just hard to...
I think they work more when I give them... the chance to work. Like if I'm really, really cognizant about it and really, really give them a fair shake, then they seem to work more if I believe in them more.
But it is hard to use tools in like a high stress, high excitement, high anything atmosphere.
Yeah. And I feel like I've noticed lately too, a lot that they'll work a lot better if I have time to like plan it out. So if I'm going into a meeting with someone, or I have to call someone on the phone for work, and I have like 2 minutes before time to be like, okay, this is what I'm going to try to do, it'll work so much better. But if I'm playing guitar and my office, and you know, because I'm working on a design for a guitar pedal, I don't hear my boss come in, and you know, then all of a sudden he's you know, wants to talk and answer all these questions, wants me to, you know, to talk about some stuff and ask me questions. If when I get blindsided like that, like I'm just a complete mess.
Yeah.
Because I have no.
That's the most embarrassing time too.
Yeah, because I just like don't know. I just like it. I'm just like, I'm not thinking about managing stuttering. I'm thinking about other stuff, and then I end up stuttering a lot.
I think that's one of the reasons that I don't agree with what that person you were talking to on YouTube said. So I think even if you feel like you really conquered the physical part, there's still sometimes, depending on the situation or how you feel or whatnot,
mm-hmm.
that speaking can still be just really, really tough.
Yeah. All right, everybody. All right, everybody. We're back with Stutter Talk. I wanted to talk about. Let's see, what was this? This wasn't this last weekend, but the weekend just prior to that, I went out to Boston to see a friend of mine who's working out there, and it actually turned out to be this kind of group get together with about 12 guys, and I knew like two of the guys, and I'm glad we're talking about this now, Roisin, because I think it does kind of play off what we were talking about earlier, and then how I tried to make that point about how it's good sometimes to sit back and reflect on how far you have come, even when times seem kind of weird. But anyway, I'll get to that later. So I was going to Boston, and to be honest with you, I don't think there's been a trip or anything quite like this since I've really come out of my stuttering closet and really been open to talking about stuttering. I don't think there's been an opportunity like this where I was going to be spending 2 days with like 10 people I didn't really know at all, you know. So this is kind of interesting because in the past, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, I probably just would have done everything I possibly could to hide my stuttering. Probably would have stuttered a little bit, but maybe some people would have noticed it, maybe not. Or I just wouldn't have talked as much as I would have liked, and it would have just, the whole thing would have been mildly stressful, which I would probably, you know, hope to offset that by drinking a lot, because, you know, we're all of age, and we're, you know, that's what we'd be doing a lot of out there, you know, and that would just help kind of, like, smooth everything over. But I did things differently this time, and I first got there, and this friend of mine was in a business meeting, so he wasn't around, but this other guy I didn't know came to let me into my friend's house. And, you know, I just already decided that I was just going to, like, really just, you know, I was going to be myself and just not, just make it obvious right from the get-go to everybody that I stutter, not, you know, just stutter in the way that I stutter, but also put in some voluntary stuttering and just definitely make it not a secret that I'm a person who stutters. Now, it's a little easier for me to do this, one, because I am in grad school. Well, I should take that back. It's not the idea of this whole thing isn't easier, but talking about stuttering in a more natural way, I think, is a little bit easier, because especially when you're meeting new people and they ask you what you do and this and that, it's really easy to bring up stuttering when you say, you know, I'm going to grad school part-time for speech pathology, and oh yeah, I'm really interested in stuttering because, you know, I stutter. But anyway, my point is that I stuttered a lot the whole weekend, and it was really cool because it was not a barrier for establishing relationships with these new people, and it was very stress free and very pleasant. And the last thing, and I know I've been talking forever, but I just have to say this quick thing because this was really cool. On the Saturday night I was out there, I was talking to this guy who I played football with for a year in college, but you know, we were liked each other and everything, and you know, we got along, but I don't recall us ever like really hanging out or anything. But he's like this real successful dude that he goes to Harvard Business School, and he's had like all these really great jobs, and he's really successful, and he's in all these demanding speaking situations all the time, and you know, he's really articulate and everything. He's just, you know, a successful dude. And we were talking, and you know, I was catching up, and I was talking about speech pathology and talking about stuttering, and I was all of a sudden he goes, hey, he's like, wow, that's crazy, I stutter also. And I'm thinking, oh great, here we go. Mm-hmm. I actually kind of like this guy, and like, you know, here he is talking this nonsense that we hear all the time. And I'm like yeah, you know, a lot of people say that. And and he's like, oh no wait, and he started telling me about it, and he very legitimately is a person who stutters, and
how weird,
like was telling me about how lately it's been harder, and like, you know, like sometimes when he's introducing himself, he'll say, hi, my name is, you know, so and so, instead of just saying my name because that seems easier. And like he's been getting kind of stressed out on some phone calls and stuff. And then after we talked, then I noticed that every once in a while he would get, you know, in a little repetition here and there or whatever. And he also told me sometimes he'd, you know, switch words or whatever. But it was just crazy because here is a guy, and I would never know that he stutters, you know, totally under the radar. And, you know, it's not like a huge problem for him, but it's a little bit of a struggle sometimes. And I don't know, I guess I wanted to share this because I look back, and you know, a few years ago I never could have had an experience like that. And so I think that even though certainly at some points in the weekend where I was stuttering a lot and, you know, struggling and things like that, it's such a better way to live, and it's a lot different than how it used to be for me.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a long story. Anybody have any thoughts?
Well, it's like really good for me to hear a positive, because I think we obviously all have positive speaking situations, but when we come on here, we like automatically talk about the challenging ones.
Yeah.
So it's like really, really cool to hear that you were, or like that felt like you were stuttering significantly, but like it didn't block the experience for you.
Yeah.
And that's like just really, I don't know.
And I love taking the topic of stuttering like, it's in our, it seems like in our society it's just like taboo to talk about it. I love making it an okay thing to talk about. Like this one guy, what, you know, just started asking me. He's like, you know, I noticed since we've been drinking, you haven't really been stuttering nearly as often as you were when we first started to talk. So that, like, gave me another opportunity to talk about stuttering. And, you know, not like that I want to, like, talk about stuttering all the time, but it's an interest of mine. And, you know, it's just cool to be able to talk about it with normal people and not have it be crazy weird, you know?
When you first advertised to all of them, did they seem like they thought it was kind of odd that you were sharing this?
Well, I didn't, you know, it wasn't like, hey, my name's Joel, I stutter. It was that, you know, I'd already established myself as I was stuttering, but then once we got into talking about, you know, the whole thing, like, oh, what do you do? What do you do? You know, then I would say I'm going to graduate school for speech pathology. I'm really interested in stuttering.
So when they just first met you and you were openly stuttering and maybe even voluntary stuttering some, did you get the impression that any of them were like, what is going on here?
Maybe a little bit from a couple of them, but I'm not confident enough in saying that if it was, you know, actually reality or my perception. But maybe a little bit, yeah.
This is a little off topic, but your story sort of made me think about this. Sometimes when I meet, like, my friends that I'm not friends with, like the situation that you just had, I always think, like, before I go in, like, they might already know that I stutter. Like, I feel like it's a big part of my life, and I feel like I talk about it a fair amount. Like, I'm always curious if it's one of the things that my friend would tell his or her friends about, or even, like, warn his or her friends about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would that be, like, a comforting thing for you, or something that's unsettling?
I think it would almost be safer for the new friends, because knowing me, I judge pretty fast, and when people laugh or make a joke, that sticks with me. So I think if they were pre-warned not to laugh or make a joke, I think maybe we'd start off on a better foot.
Yeah, because I've had that, like, question before posed to me, and I've had experience with people who stutter where, like, they're like, so-and-so told this professor or this friend that I stutter, and I'm really insulted by it. But I've always felt like, that's cool. I'm like, cool. And that's just, I mean, it's still something that I would want to speak to them about. Like the person I just met, I still want to say something about it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But it's kind of, it like makes it easier. You know, it just makes it feel easier.
Yeah.
I think it kind of depends on the person. And this is kind of a loose analogy, but like, one of my best friends is gay. He doesn't live in Minnesota, but he comes to visit on occasion. And so if we're going to hang out with some friends of mine, and I know sometimes those friends, like, every once in a while, I'll hear them say something like, oh, that's, you know, that's gay, or something like that. Then, you know, I'll go out of my way to tell this person, I'm like, hey, dude, just so you know, this friend of mine is gay, so don't say derogatory things that could be interpreted in a negative way. But then there's other friends that I have where there wouldn't be any reason to say anything. In fact, if I did say anything, they'd probably be kind of offended. They'd be like, so what? Why do I need to know that? You know? Yeah. So I think it just kind of like, it just really depends, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was out to dinner last night with my brother and two of his friends that I had never met before. And, the first time that I stuttered, like, they both, it didn't even seem to, like, phase them. Mm-hmm. And I was, like, floored. I, like, didn't know.
Like, who told you?
I didn't know if, like, they just really didn't care or they didn't even, like, I mean, it was enough of a stutter that I feel like it was noticeable. Mm-hmm. And I didn't ask my brother, but I'm really curious if, like, he said something to them or they're just, like, really, really chill.
That's interesting.
I don't know.
Isn't it so great when you meet that person, like, randomly, and you know that they don't know anyone you know, so no one could have told them, and they're just so chill with it?
Oh, it's the best.
They just, like, keep the eye contact. They don't fucking, like, waver, you know? And they're like, yeah, huh? And then amazing. You say something like, yeah, sure. It's, like, so great.
I have a teeny little side topic that's not what we're talking about.
We knew it would come out, Karen. We knew something would come out.
So I just finished working in this school externship site that I had for graduate school. And one of the kids that I had, I wasn't told at first that he stuttered, but after working with him, I sort of discovered that he did. He was, like, coming for me for his R sounds. Mm-hmm. And I was in the case conference with, like, my SLP that was supervising me and this child's parents and a few of the child's just general education teachers. And, I mean, I was there to participate, but at the same time, I mean, my SLP was sort of taking the lead. Mm-hmm. And I was still, this is probably like a few weeks in, so I was still like very, very new. And some of the general education teachers and the parents were just saying some like crazy things about stuttering that were just like blatantly wrong. And I wasn't sure, just as number one, a person who stutters and someone who I feel knows a bit about stuttering. Like, where is our place to sort of educate others? Like, if you hear something, like, in a educational setting or not an educational setting, that's what you believe is to be just wrong, like, where do you guys think our place is to sort of jump in?
That's a great question. I'm just gonna go revert back to like a really safe answer and say I just think it's like a really case by case basis and there's no hard fast. Well, there's not, right? I mean, the other day this guy was giving a speech at our NSA meeting, our local chapter meeting, and he said a few things that I'm just like, that's wrong. You know? Well, like, what was I going to do? Interrupt him in front of his speech?
You said it out loud.
What's that?
You said that to yourself, or you said it out loud?
I said it to myself.
No, that's wrong.
Because it's rude, and it's, like, undermining, you know, someone else's time when they're, you know. And maybe it's not wrong. I'm pretty sure it was, but maybe it's not. So, like, if you are in a session with an SLP or whatever, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's not okay to, like, to say it then, but maybe there could be, like, another discrete time where you could bring it up in a tactful way. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you should just, like, say it and, like, just get the record straight. But I kind of feel like you could bring it up.
Oh, no, sorry.
I'm done.
I kind of feel like you could bring, like, as like Jill said, I think it's very situational, and I feel like there's ways that I haven't quite mastered yet in life that, like, you can bring things up and not seem confrontational.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to do, especially in that situation, because you're like, well, actually, I stutter and you're wrong, you know? And it's, like, a very personal thing, too. So... yeah, like, I'm not sure if it's better to... I wouldn't fault a person for bringing it up there. It wouldn't be comfortable for the SLP talking to the parents. But I wouldn't fault you at all. But then you have the added issue of, like, do you want these parents from the get-go to feel like the person supervising you might not know what they're talking about?
Right. Like, but like not even in this situation. Like, what if you were on this subway and people sitting a few seats down were like talking stuttering and we're just blatantly wrong? Like, is that our responsibility as people who stutter and people that know some things about stuttering to sort of be like, whoa?
That's interesting. Actually, I have like, so last night, Eric and I were at this like Buddhist talk thing, and like at the intermission, sort of the people in front of us are talking about self-help, and the guy was telling his partner, whoever she was, that self-help is like a facade because you always need like someone who's like in a better place than you are or like in a higher up than you are to like guide you. And if you use self-help, you just sort of like drown in your own, I don't know. He was just talking. And I heard him, but I was like, you know, I'm not, you know, like I wouldn't say anything about it. And Eric was like, excuse me, sir.
Eric.
That's hilarious. What did he say?
He's like, excuse me, sir. I couldn't help but overhear you talking about self-help. And the guy was like, yeah. And he was like, so you're saying that self-help is like not beneficial at all? And they got into a conversation. They didn't end up arguing because they ended up being like sort of clarifying that like even a support group is not really self-help because you're having the support of the group.
That's
you're not
true.
Sitting in your house by yourself like, I'm going to get through this, you know? And if you're reading a book, it's not really self-help because you're like someone is guiding you.
It's
sort of a term in the stuttering community that's like used because we're not using professional help.
Yeah, it's like non-professional help.
Yeah, yeah. So in the argument didn't like escalate. It was like pretty clarified. But I was like, whoa, like you just really jumped in. So like I think that's certain. But it wasn't to me. I wouldn't do that because I would feel it was inappropriate. But it didn't seem inappropriate when he did it. And right. It like I probably wouldn't talk to someone on the train. Like it's like I probably wouldn't have the balls, honestly.
Yeah.
But some people would, and that's probably a good thing if you do, but that's kind of insane though to stop someone on the train and be like, I can't help it over here.
But that's so great because I can totally see Eric doing that.
And, right, but at the
but
same
he can
time,
do it in a graceful way, but I'm with you guys. I don't know if I'd feel so comfortable doing it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like even on a train, like if someone like us isn't going to educate, like who is?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I don't know.
We probably
Maybe
should.
Not
yeah,
our responsibility, but it might, I feel like it maybe should be.
It's definitely not going to hurt anything, and it's probably going to help things.
Yeah.
So, then with that like said, would I do it?
Right.
If Eric was with me, I might just
yeah, right.
try to impress him or something.
That's true.
Well, should we wrap this up, or do we have anything else to discuss?
I think we can wrap it up.
All right.
That's the end of an... I forgot how to wrap it up. That's the end of the B-Team episode. It's come to a close. Please email us if you have any comments or like things you'd want us to talk about or things that you've been going through. Email us specifically at bteam@stuttertalk.com. And you can do direct general Stutter Talk questions to the stuttertalk@stuttertalk.com. And please email both of those if you have the time or the energy. And we will see you next month.
Thanks,
guys. Is there
guys.
A phone number? Someone give me a phone number.
Karen.
206-666-5340.
Okay, sounds good.
See ya.
Talk to you guys later.
And then, should I bring up my little topic and then that'll probably be good for the show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Do it up.
All right. We'll probably have to, are you going to keep typing. Roshina, is you?
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
Sorry. I thought that was being
It was just really audible, yeah.
I'll stop typing.
No, that's okay.
How did you know that it was her and not me?
Because her little green thing on Skype. Yeah, started doing it.
Yeah. My email. Sorry, guys.
That's all right. Okay, I'll bring it back in.